And now, live from New York City via Los Angeles, California, it's time for The View from Over Here with the man who has a view for all seasons, your host, Stan Weisleder.
Okay, all you people out there, wake up. We are back. This is Stan Weisleder on The View from Over Here, and I'm with my producer, Malcolm Berman, who is sitting on my right, not on my left. Maybe your left, but my right.
But actually, I'm to your left. I'm not to your right.
You're to my right.
No,
you look at the screen, you're to my left.
But my political opinions are to the left of yours. Sometimes my political
opinions... You are
opinions,
to the left of...
I'm to the left of Mao Zedong.
Exactly. You are to the left also of Lenin.
Yes. Okay. Actually, in a way, in the good old days, I did believe in communism. I have to admit.
I have to tell you a story about that. When I was about 14 or 15, these people tried to get me sucked into something like that. And I started to go because the girls were really nice looking.
Well, that's an important thing.
But then after like one meeting, I said, no, I don't feel good about this.
You had a meeting with the American Communist
Party? No, but they weren't communists. They said they were for Israel, but they really were like, communally for Israel, not what I mean. Don't ask me complicated questions.
I have no idea what you mean, but the thing
it's
is...
It's just as well, hey, Malcolm, I was 14, 15. I didn't know anything then.
But if we get our screenplay picked up and we become producers... I mean, I just saw the movie Trumbo. I don't know if you've seen that with...
I did not see it. I heard about it. It's supposed to be very good.
Excellent. But then they could get you in front of the subcommittee and find out, especially if Trump becomes president, they can get you in front of the subcommittee.
Me? Why? What did I do?
Because you went to a meeting.
But I never signed in.
Doesn't make a difference. You went to a meeting.
They didn't have video cameras then, Malcolm.
Yeah, but they have people that were at that meeting then probably shows up. Yes.
Malcolm, those people are probably dead by
Stan
now.
Stan Weisleder was at a meeting, and he
Malcolm,
didn't say
shut
a word,
the
but...
fuck up. You want to get me in trouble?
But anyway, when I say I don't know how many people have read the Communist Manifesto, but the final stages of communism is a withering away of the states, of the state, and it's the industry and everything is taken over by the people. Except that never happens.
It never happens. Look what happened to Russia. Who would ever think years ago that they would throw in the towel the way they did? And now today, do you know that we have an FBI office in Moscow? It's not called FBI. It's under a different name. But we have agents in Moscow dealing with criminal stuff between our country and their country. Who would ever think?
Well, why would they have an FBI when the FBI is only domestic? I thought it
would be
the CIA or the NSA. Because the FBI, from what I know, only deals with domestic
during
matters.
World War II, the FBI operated outside of our borders. They were active in South and Central America to prevent, Nazism from encroaching in those areas. So the FBI, when the president says, okay, FBI, you could do blah, 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 they'll do blah, blah,
you
blah.
You mean you remember World War II?
I remember almost everything about it.
Uh-huh.
I'm older than you, Malcolm.
World War II.
Yeah.
People don't... Do you know...
Most people, Malcolm, I have to tell you, are so stupid, it's unbelievable. They don't know diddly squat about who was fighting who or what they were fighting about, or where.
We were talking about that in the car over here when you're talking about... the interviews on the street with one of those shows, one of those night shows, has an interview with college students.
Yeah, I can't believe that they are that stupid.
But they don't know who we fought. They don't know who the Axis was. They don't know the Germany, Italy, and
some of them they truly
Germany, they, Japan.
They don't know who we're fighting. They don't know shit, really, and it's a shame. It's criminal that there are so many people out there. And even if that's not all of them, I have a feeling that what the networks do, they pick the really dumb ones. And those are the ones they show on TV because it's more, what's the word used to be in that business? It's more
entertaining.
More entertaining. Thank you.
Stan, take off your watch. I hear it clicking. I don't know. Did you hear the watch clicking, Aaron? No.
No, but better safe than sorry.
Okay.
It's, okay. It's that time. All right, Malcolm, I have this letter.
Speaking about Donald Trump.
Speaking about him or to him?
Well, this is an open letter. Now, Donald, you're welcome to come aboard the show. We won't challenge you. We'll let you have your say. Then we'll make comments. But, Stan, you wanted to address him personally?
Well, you think it's okay? Kind of rough language.
I think it's okay. Oh, because we're on the Internet.
Okay, Don. Hey, Don, if you hear this.
Welcome, Don. It's not Donald, isn't it? I've never heard him referred to as Don.
We're on a friendly basis.
Okay.
I call him Don. He calls me Stan.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Did anyone call you Stanley?
My mother used to.
Yeah.
My mother, that's about it.
Or your wife when she's angry at you.
No.
No?
She calls me...
Schmuck.
Yeah, or stupid or something like that. So this is a message to Mr. Trump.
Go ahead.
From me. Clear my throat first. Are you stupid or what?
Good opening.
What the fuck is wrong with you? You were ahead in the polls and just about had all of your opponents, Democrat and Republican, by the short hairs on your head, right? And what do you do next? You fuck up by shooting off your mouth when all you had to do was to keep it shut until your advisors, assuming you have any advisors, advise you what's best to say and, more importantly, what's best not to say. Okay?
So far, so good.
Still on track. Okay. And what do you have to deal with now? Aside from the Democrats, who will use any excuse, both real and imaginary, to malign you, you now have to deal with more of the Republicans and the Republican aristocracy than ever before, plus all of those wannabe members of the Republican aristocracy who seem to be coming out of the woodwork in droves, not unlike cockroaches.
Good.
Ready for the close?
Okay. Big close.
In spite of being your own worst enemy, you have three great things going for you. First, you are not a professional politician, with all that it implies. Secondly, no one can buy you. Thirdly, your family makes an incredible impression on TV. Some have even said that you should stay home and let your family campaign for you. People have a short memory span, including Republicans. But if you don't immediately get your shit together, you can kiss the presidency. Goodbye.
Presidency.
Goodbye. It's not too late, but if you fuck up once more, it's all over.
I hope it's too late.
Call me on that?
He might. You never can tell if he hears it, maybe.
Well, I know Aaron, you're not for him. I know that.
Aaron, is there any way for us to send that to him to Twitter?
I'm sure there is some way for him to see that.
Okay. If you figure it out, let us know.
Wait, I get Twitters from him. Maybe I could send it back.
You can, maybe. I think, what's it, 128 words?
You might be a little bit over.
A little bit over. You have to edit that.
Yeah, we could edit. Sure. 128 words?
I believe so. Okay. Something like that.
I'll have to check with Pam, because if I get a Twitter.
Pam who?
Pam, who does our tech stuff.
Oh, I haven't seen you. Tim, where are you? I haven't seen you in months.
If he could send a Twitter to me, why can't I Twitter his Twitter back?
Oh, you can. No, you can tweet his Twitter.
You know what? Whatever. We'll check with Pam.
That sounds obscene. Yes, you can tweet his Twitter.
Well, isn't that what you do? You tweet somebody's Twitter?
Right. Yeah, we got the acknowledgement of Aaron. He's Are you a millennium or are you past that, Aaron?
Sorry,
are you a millennial?
I don't know. I don't know what happens. I was born in
83. So
I don't know where that puts me.
So that's 33.
32, yeah.
32. You might be the borderline.
I thought it started in 1985.
I don't know. But I think you're either that or a Gen X.
I have no idea. I never pay attention to that sort of thing.
Oh. Okay, well, if you do, let us know. Fill us in on the next show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're dying to know. It's very, very important.
Well, hey, you guys are going to take over the world. Where, you know, how long do we have? You're the next generation that will be getting into your, you know, presidential election. By the time this president's, you'll be like 37, and the next one over, you'll be in your early 40s. If it's an 8-year thing, if an 8-year presidency, and
not everybody
this is your
gets
world.
In 8 years, you know, Malcolm.
I know. Well, 37 to 41, you'll be in the mainstream of your life.
And think of how much fun you'll have.
Yes, that's a telephone.
This.
Who is it?
I have no
Anyone
idea.
Anyone important?
It's probably a telemarketer.
Okay, find out.
You now?
Can do it. Now?
No. I'll
okay.
just shut it off. If it is a telemarketer, I'll start cursing at them, and I don't want to do that. It's not nice to behave that way while on such an important show.
Oh.
I shouldn't use profanity.
Well, actually, I'm nice to telemarketers because the telemarketing is not the company. It's the people that are making the $8 an hour making phone calls.
They make that much?
I think they do. There's a minimum wage.
$8? The minimum wage, I don't know. I don't know. I forget. Even though I'm still on minimum wage, I forgot what it is.
You're on minimum wage?
Yeah, I'm on minimum wage.
Okay.
I'm on Social Security and Medicare.
Yeah, but how come the Social Security, you know, the years of Social Security doesn't go up, but the Congress's salaries go up?
Well, because they could vote it up. That's why.
I know, but how come they don't? I know. Or
well, Social Security numbers do go up. They go up according to cost of living adjustments.
Right.
And but I don't think there's been one for the last year or two.
No, I know the last year there was no increase because the price of gas was down.
So it brought the whole average down.
It brought the whole average down. But the Congress voted themselves a raise.
Well, of course. Why not?
I mean, speaking of entitlements.
Well, it's, hey, we're paying for it, so what do they care? They don't give a shit.
Well, that's what Trump has to say. In that respect, he's right. But the thing is, how can, I mean, I think one of the reasons he was running on is an outsider, but as an outsider, how can he change the inside?
Well, he is an outsider.
But how can he change the inside then? He doesn't know what.
Well,
who does what?
That's true. Nobody knows who does what on the inside. How could he change it? The only way he could do it, if he's popular enough, he could do like a so-called fireside chat like FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, used to do. Talk to the people out there and tell them, hey, when so-and-so reruns or runs again in your district, do not vote for him because he did blah, blah, blah.
So somehow I don't picture Trump as warm and cuddly. Plus, he gives in. Didn't he endorse poor Ryan?
Well, he had to. If he didn't,
right.
It would look stupid. He
right.
should have done so earlier.
Right.
You got to, you know.
And McCain. But
McCain,
he gave in to pressure.
He gave in
he's
because he had
the,
to.
Yeah, because he's part
right.
of the establishment.
Yeah, he could go his own way, but you can't do it 100%. On some things, you got to do it their way. Give him a little bone. Also, when it comes to McCain, there's a lot of stuff unsaid about him. If you do some research, you can Google it. There's
okay.
so much that you can Google.
You can Google
You can't
it.
Imagine. Hey, Malcolm, for all of my research, for my writings, I don't go to the library anymore. I haven't been to the library in years.
Yeah, but you.
I Google it.
But you can Google anything. But the question is, there's so much misinformation on the web.
Well, I know if it, Google says it, got to be right.
That's
right?
What people say. Right, sure, yeah.
Well, you don't have to go just by Google. You could put in the subject matter. Put it in by itself. Don't Google, just subject matter, and a lot of stuff will come up. And you could check it against the stuff that you get on other sites, like Google, for instance.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. I've been watching the presidential election also before the primaries. You go into different stations, and it's like different worlds. You go to CNN.
Oh, yeah.
And listen to something. Oh, that's me.
That's you.
That's
my
wife.
Shut it off.
Just shut up my wife?
Well, I don't know if you could. Tell her you're busy.
I'm busy. Okay.
Talk to her. Tell her you're busy.
Anna?
Hello.
You're on radio right now. Oh, shoot. You're on radio. Can you hear her, Aaron?
I hear her, so.
You're loud and clear. You're on my speaker.
I think.
Are you going to say anything?
I think she hung up. She doesn't want to be on national radio.
Right. She's shy. Anyway, yeah. You listen to CNN in the night, and right next door to CNN is Fox. And I'll listen to CNN, then I'll listen to Fox, then I'll listen to CNN, then I'll listen to Fox, and it's two different worlds. It's amazing.
You get a different, even a greater disparity if you go from those two to, let's say, channel 2, 5, 7, or 13. Mm. the so-called
mainstream
media, whatever. They have one way of reporting the news, and CNN and Fox do it an entirely different way.
But you know, there's where we're going to have problems now is with the debates. I think he's
moving, when they are?
Sometime October. I think October 4th was supposedly
that
the first
far
one.
Off.
Yeah.
So only a.
There are only three debates.
And they're going to be in the month prior to Election Day?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well, where should they be?
You should start them early. Let the people start getting all riled up early.
But the question is now, originally Trump was protesting that they're doing the NFL games. Can you imagine, the NFL? Well, number one, it's a different day and age. If you want to listen to the debates, you could listen to it on tape. You can get it, you record it if you want to do the NFL. If you want to do the NFL, you record the NFL and listen to the
NFL
debates.
NFL is one game a week.
Right, but I think
you got 7 days in the week.
But there are two of them. I mean, I think two of the three debates are against an NFL football game.
They could change it. What's the big deal?
What's the big deal? All they have to do is find out a location to have it. They have. I mean, I think they're in major
colleges.
They can
have it right here. We are inviting them to have this place here as the location. They can come here. They got free parking here.
Yeah,
they can do it right here at this table.
Well, what's the capacity of this auditorium? Aaron, can we fit 600-700 people in this room?
It might be a tight squeeze.
I think it might be a tight squeeze.
Okay, but they could come themselves without all of
the flunkies. But this whole thing was the dates were set 18 months ago, so it's not rigged against Trump.
Nothing is cast in stone. Everything is changeable.
Right, but what they do is they look at all the religious holidays, because in October the Jewish holidays are in October.
I would rather see them sooner. I want to see the fireworks earlier. And I have a question for you, and maybe since you've been following this stuff a lot earlier or longer than I have.
Talk to me.
When they do their debates, will this be predetermined questions that are posed by the reporters, or let's say I'm debating you, I could say, hey, Malcolm, what about you did blah, blah, blah?
Tell you the truth, I'm not sure. I think
you don't know.
I think there are a few set questions, but then they can go off on different tangents depending on the answers. But the big question now is who's going to be the moderator? Because I thought
Obama is going to be the moderator.
No, but 4 years ago, who was that? I forget the lady's name who got into trouble because she pressed the Republican candidate for answers and. She more or less, they thought she was, a little biased for a Democrat. Was it Candy? I forget her name.
They're all a little biased.
But the question, who would they have? They have someone from Fox. They have someone from CNN. All of them have different slants.
You're right. They all have different slants. And it's human nature. You can't help it.
Yeah, but at one time, remember the Walter Cronkites of the world, the Edward R. Murrows of the world. They were supposedly like newsmen who got the information without being biased one way or the other way. True or not true, but they had that image.
Well, they had that image. Was it true? I don't know.
It was in the 60s. They said the most truthful person, the people that relied or believed the most was Walter Cronkite.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
The Vietnamese War. I'm old enough to remember that.
Oh, that's good. I remember when they used to say the person who has most of the correct information was Joseph Goebbels.
Joseph Goebbels?
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
that information is before
minister.
Your time.
I watch the
he was the information minister or whatever his title was.
Propaganda.
Propaganda.
In those days for the Nazis.
And you know what the Nazi party was called?
Joseph Goebbels. The
National Socialistic Party, okay? Not the Nazi party. National Socialistic.
Do you know that the swastika is an old symbol?
Yeah, it comes from India.
Is it India or Greek?
India.
India?
Yeah, many, many, many years ago.
And what did it mean?
I have no clue.
It was a good meaning.
I have no fucking idea what it meant.
It was in something or other that they had the swastika and someone complained, and then there was that whole on Google. They had all that information on
Well, you could
what it stood for. But it was a very positive symbol.
Yeah, back then.
So before the Nazis.
It got subverted when the Nazis took it over. Why they picked that, I don't know. It's not important, but they did. And it's been with that connotation since. Except for students of history like yourself that know better and know.
Well actually, I know I watch, I'm forgetting the name of the station. There is a station that, like at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning when I wake up, they have all the stories about
you wake up
the
2, 3 in the morning?
Yeah, because I go to sleep about 8, 9 o'clock at night. And wake up 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I can't fall back to sleep.
Wow.
So I watch an hour or two of TV and go back to sleep for an hour.
So you get tired and then go back.
Yeah. And there are a lot of, you know, on cable, there's a lot of information, a lot of good stations.
Name one.
Nova.
Nova, isn't that on regular TV?
No, I think it's on PBS.
Oh, well, that's regular
TV. Right, but there, with some of the other stations, I'm forgetting the name of the stations. But they have a lot of the thing about World War II with the Nazis, and I didn't know that they had tried to assassinate Hitler.
Beginning in
41 or 42.
They tried to assassinate him about 24 times at least. The only one that really made the headlines was the one that almost succeeded when they made a movie about it with Tom Cruise playing the officer who planted the bomb
in
their headquarters. And what happened, one of the officers, one of the generals, it was in the way near his foot. So he moved it a couple of feet away behind the leg, a big fat heavy leg of the table.
Mm-hmm.
And that protected Hitler against a lot of the blast.
Yeah.
If he hadn't done that, he might have been killed. And also, if the guy who put the bomb together used double the explosive like he was supposed to, the whole building would have been gone up. There's so many things.
Do you realize how many close calls have shaped the world and history? Like, just off the top of your head, what happens if Lincoln had a cold that night and decided he wouldn't go to the theater?
It would have been a different world
Right. Let's say Jack Kennedy, instead of standing up, would be sitting down in the car with us talking to someone else. What would happen if Robert Kennedy wasn't killed?
There's so many incidents like that. You can't rewrite history.
And it's pivotal. I mean, three things have changed the course of the world.
Take the one about Hitler, the most successful, yet it still failed. The one that where they almost did it was the one in 1944. I think it was, don't remember the day, June or July of 44. The Allies were already, they already landed in France. If they were able to kill him, if they were successful, the German high command, they would have sued for peace at that time. The rest of the country would have been intact. Yeah, okay, they had to go along with unconditional surrender, but at least their country, the rest of it, would not have been devastated. It would have taken them a lot less time to recover. the Russians would not have been able to do what they did by, you know, sweeping as far west as they could. If they killed Hitler, it would have been a totally different ending to World War II.
How about if Hitler's mother had an abortion?
Yeah, okay.
So these people who are pro-life...
But he was Catholic. They didn't believe in abortion.
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. If those pro-life people said he shouldn't have been aborted, if they had a choice now...
Who the hell knows? I don't know.
Questions you have to think about.
That's too iffy. But somebody wrote a book, and I think they even made a movie about it. What if the Nazis had won the war? Okay. What would have happened? That's a whole different ball game. But I have to tell you, as you know, I'm a big student of history. I'm not what you call a historian. I'm an amateur historian, okay? And I've done tons of research for the books that I've written. And the Nazis, the Germans, they were so far ahead of us in so many different aspects of science.
And in weaponry.
In weaponry, not in atomic research, because Hitler, his theory was that atomic fission, atomic research was Jewish physics.
Well, that's
so
it.
Officially, that was their...
he threw out all the Jews.
Yeah.
And that was...
They all came here, and that's
Einstein.
Why we were able to develop it.
Who's the one with the rockets that helped him? Werner von Braun.
Von Braun, he was captured by... American troops at the end of the war. Actually, he surrendered. He looked to surrender to the Americans. He didn't want to go to the Russian side. And he took as many of his people as he could. And they whisked him away right away.
Was he Jewish, Von Braun?
No, I don't think so. No. No.
No, he wasn't. He was one of the tribe.
He was not a tribe member. Definitely not. But there were a number of tribe members within the Nazi hierarchy and in their armed forces. There's a study done about this. And did you know that Goring is known as the head of the Luftwaffe?
Luftwaffe.
His second in command, Erhard Milch, was half Jewish.
Which half?
I don't know.
Bottom half or the top half?
The mother or the father, whatever.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of Jewish people in his organization, and he would get criticized by some of the other officers who weren't, you know, really didn't give a damn about Jews at all, and they just wanted them all out. And when they would complain to him, his answer was, in the Luftwaffe, I decide who's Jewish. In other words, if somebody was useful to him, he wasn't Jewish. He was okay. And he had a lot of people like that. In fact, a guy, what was the guy's name? Oh, I don't remember his name. But there was a professor who wrote a book. And it's about all of the Jewish people who were soldiers within the Luftwaffe and throughout the entire German armed forces, how many officers there were, how many privates, and so on and so forth. And the estimate was that is up to about 100,000 Jews or half Jews were in the German armed forces during World War II. And it's all documented. You could check it out on Google, whether you believe Google or not. You could even get the name of the book, and there you have it.
Well, there's a great movie, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's like an autobiographical by Louis Malle, who's a French director. I think he was married to Candice Bergen for a while. I think he passed.
It wasn't pronounced Malle?
I pronounce it Malle. It could be Malle for all I know. But it's about him hiding in a Jewish French school, pretending to be Christian. When he's about 4 or 5 years old, or maybe a little older, and parts of it, he had to uncircumcise himself by taking his penis and putting stitching the skin together, because they would tell who the Jews were.
There were a number of stories
you strip
like
and
that.
See your penis.
There was one story like that that they made into a movie, and this guy, he's a teenager, and he's going out with this young German Fraulein, somebody about his age, and they're getting ready to do it, and she looks as she's shocked. And he had to come up, if my memory is correct, he didn't admit to her that he's Jewish, but he came up with some story it was infected and they had to save his life so he didn't become gangrene. They had to cut off part.
That's my story also.
Oh, it happened to you that way?
Definitely.
Okay. All right. Hey, it happens.
Well, did you ever hear the story about the moral who saved his hips to get ahead?
No.
Right? That's an inside joke. If you're not Jewish, I'm sorry, you may not understand it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You know what grivenness is?
Not sure.
Well, anyway.
It sounds like part of a meat.
It's something that your grandmother or great-grandmother might have or would have made by cooking a chicken and frying up chicken fat with onions.
Well, it's
something that's not good for you, okay? But it tasted good. So what I was going to say is, and I remember what the stuff looked like, never buy grivenness from a mile.
Right.
Okay? You get it, don't you?
No.
Good. You don't get it.
I get it.
I'll explain it to you after the show.
I know not grivenness, but schmaltz.
Well, that's
a chicken fat.
That's the rendered fat
from
a chicken.
Right.
How they get it, I don't know. I know a chicken has a lot of fat.
And do you know that?
How do they get the secretions out?
Well, because you make the chicken and all the droppings of the fat.
Droppings of the fat.
Because my wife makes chopped liver, and you have to make chopped liver with chicken schmaltz.
But she's not Jewish. How does she
know
that stuff?
But she did it one time with butter.
What country is she from?
El Salvador.
Okay, so they do that down in El Salvador?
No. She's learned how to cook Jewish food. We have sometimes for breakfast frijoles with matzo brei.
Okay. So she makes that chicken fat.
Oh, she makes a great Jewish dish.
Really?
Dishes, yeah. Well, the matzo brei, the chicken soup. Oh, she makes a great potato pancake. Latkes.
Really?
You got to come over to her. You were over the house one time for dinner, right? But I don't remember what you had.
Not for breakfast.
Not for breakfast.
I remember one thing she made was incredible.
Oh, the yucca. Yucca. I don't know. Y-U-C-C-A.
Malcolm, it was like a gigantic French fried potato. It was incredible. In fact, I got to tell you, a couple of months ago, we were down in Florida, and I went to this Cuban restaurant. I like Cuban food. And on the menu was with the different choices. So I had my plantains and fried chicken with onions and rice. And I saw yucca. I said, I'll have some yucca. I thought it would have been like what Anna makes.
Right.
No.
It was boiled.
It was boiled. It wasn't right. deep fried.
It wasn't fried.
It tasted like crap. Really, it was not. I don't want this.
Like a mashed potato.
It wasn't even that good. Mm. It was terrible. So not at all.
It's yucca con chicharrones you got to have.
Who?
Chicharrones. It's little pork rinds. And the yucca, and they have it in a hot sauce. And I forget that. I usually always check. It's cortitas, sort of like a coleslaw.
I had that at your house.
And eat it with your hands.
No, we didn't eat with our hands at your house.
Eat it with your hands.
We used utensils like normal people.
No, normal people eat with their hands.
Well, I know they did 100 years ago, a few hundred years ago, they didn't have utensils.
If you went to an Ethiopian restaurant, they eat with their hands.
Even now?
Even now.
Really?
Yeah. Or you eat certain...
I've never been to an Ethiopian restaurant.
Well, you have to go.
And eat with your hands.
Eat with your hands.
Son of a gun. Where are there Ethiopian restaurants?
Well, actually,
in L.A.
There's a whole slew of Ethiopian restaurants on Fairfax around Olympic, mixed in with the Jewish delis.
Really?
Yeah, it's a big.
Hey, speaking of restaurants, you ever go to a Russian restaurant?
I had, this is, that's going back about 30 years ago. We had my mother's 75th birthday at a Russian nightclub in Brooklyn, in Brighton Beach. And it's called, Brighton Beach now is called Little Odessa.
I've been there.
Or Odessa by the Sea.
Yeah, one of those. Yeah, I've been there.
And we went to the nightclub, and we had about, I don't know, 40, 50 people that my brother and I, you know, did the party for. So we go there, and the table is all set up, and I think that's all the food.
That's, you know, just the beginning.
That was the appetizer, because after I finished all the food.
No, that was one of the appetizers.
Right. Right,
that, then you get a few more.
Right.
You don't get your main dinner till what time?
Time to be asleep. With all the vodka in.
Yeah. I think,
But the answer is yes, I've been to a Russian restaurant.
Well, the first time I experienced that was a Russian wedding. And, we're eating. This is not the main meal because they asked me what I want for my main dish. And I've been waiting like, I think 3 hours. And meantime, there was an unending supply of all kinds of food. Some I knew what they were, some I never heard of. It was without end. So when do I get what I asked for? It eventually came. I think it was 2 a.m.
You were sleeping.
I couldn't eat anymore.
Take a doggy back.
That's what I did.
Oh, I haven't been to a Russian, what was it, Russian wedding?
Well, that was a Russian wedding, but Russian nightclubs, they have them here in L.A.
Go to a Persian bar mitzvah.
I've never been to one of those.
It's the same, and it starts late.
But I hear it's pretty wild.
And it's, you know, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, you go home.
If you can.
If you can. Otherwise, you just fall out by your table.
You know, it's funny when you see that kind of a spread, that kind of a meal, that kind of a dinner at a Russian facility, because 30 years ago, 40 years ago, after World War II, before, during, and after, Russia was really like a third world country.
They didn't
have much of, they had a great army and a big army and all of that stuff with the ships and the planes and atomic weapons and so forth. But for the civilian, everyday things, there were always shortages, yet when they put on a dinner, it was like, wow, where did all of this come from?
It's like the Jews. That's also, you put on a dinner, you eat.
Boy, it was something, those Russian feasts. I couldn't believe
it. I used to love coming home from college. Sometimes I would stop off. I went to CCNY in New York. I'd stop off at my aunt's house in Brooklyn. It was like a halfway point with a train, and my aunt Gussie, and she would say, "You didn't tell me you're coming over. I have no food for you." She'd open up the refrigerator, and I had a 7-course dinner. It was amazing.
And you're stuffed.
She
says,
everything.
But you hardly ate anything.
Bojik. Es mein Kind. But it's in any language, in any culture. It's in Yiddish, it's Es mein Kind. It's in Italian, mangia, mangia.
Mm.
And in Spanish, it's come. Everybody wants their kids to eat. It's a commonality.
So Spanish people do that also?
They do that also.
So that would be also people from South and Central America Spanish heritage,
because those
areas were settled by people from Spain.
Except Argentina.
Portugal.
Except Brazil.
Brazil was Portugal.
Because they speak Portuguese. Have you been watching the Olympics at all?
No, I haven't, but what I've been doing is watching, like, the recap with the late news, and it would just give you, like, a 5-second clip.
Okay. So far, the American basketball team is doing well. They had a hard game against Australia, who actually Australia had 5 NBA players playing for them.
Really?
And the swimmers are doing well, and I think tonight Michael
track
Phelps.
And field.
Track and field hasn't started yet. And the gymnastics, I think the women won everything.
No kidding.
And they have this little girl, I forget how to pronounce her name, Simone Biles. And she's like, I think she's 19 years old and 4'8". She won everything.
In that sport, once you pass 21 or something like that,
you're old.
You're over the hill.
Yeah, there's one, an African-American lady, Gabrielle, I think she's 21 or 22. She's a grandmother.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, figuratively speaking, of course.
Well, there are some excellent athletes that have gone for a number of different Olympic events, and they're 4 years apart. Phelps.
He started in the year 2000. I think he was 16.
2000. So if it's
16 years.
So wow, it's 16.
It's fifth
12,
Olympics.
12, 8, 4.
It's his fifth. It's his fifth.
And he has what? 23 medals.
Yeah, I think 20 or 21 gold medals.
And then some bronze.
And then three,
or so.
Yeah.
So altogether, he has like two dozen medals.
Right.
At least.
Right. Plus whatever he gets in the year 2020.
You think he'll ever retire?
I don't know. There was an interesting interview with him with Bob Costas after the Olympics of 2016. We said, no, I'm definitely retiring. This is it. Can't have no more. I'm going to have fun. And, of course,
well,
I think he retired
into trouble. He got into trouble.
I think he retired for 2 years.
Yeah, he got into trouble with the law, something about DUI or something he shouldn't have done. And he had to get back. You know, get back on track, and I guess part of his rehab was, hey, I got to get back to where I was. And so he ended up coming or trying again for the Olympics, and he made it.
As a lawman, if you have in the future, if you have a car that's can drive itself, will there be a DUI? Can you drive automatically while drunk if you're not driving it?
You know, that's a very damn good question. You're supposed to be ready to take over because the automatic cars don't cover every single contingency. And a human person is still supposed to be better than no person. I don't know, Malcolm.
Well, right now it is, but one day it's going to be driving.
It's going to be fun for the lawyers. Mm. They're going to have a blast.
But it's not fun anymore.
Look at airplanes. They've been using remote-controlled airplanes since World War II, but you don't see any of them now commercially.
No, not
they
remote,
want a pilot there.
Well, the only remote control you have are the drones.
Yeah.
That's an amazing. I don't know if you've ever seen any of the stories on 60 Minutes or any of the news shows where you have like these 17, 18, 19-year-old soldiers, you know, in bunkers in Arizona or Colorado. And they are controlling
They're fighting a war 10,000 miles
right,
away.
In the Middle East, and you see they have the pictures of what's happening. And of course, they don't have they can't make the orders, but when they get orders, they're the ones that have to execute them. It's amazing.
Yeah, I always wonder how they deal with the timeline difference because sound travels at one speed, light or signals travel at another speed, and if you're going halfway around the world, what's the total time delay? It has to be in the seconds.
But probably milliseconds. They probably have some ways of
counteracting or adjusting.
Yes, not the second. I mean, you see, I guess it's fairly sophisticated, but, you know, something, you watch your news today, and you have your reporter in Bangladesh. And you hear, you know, the reporter in New York or California asking them a question. There's probably like a half a second delay.
I think it's more than that if you watch it.
Well, or a second delay. But these are the a makeshift type of, equipment that's not the top of the line.
How do we get on this subject?
What were we talking about?
I don't have no idea.
We were talking about chicken schmaltz.
Yeah, and then you went to something else, and then to something else, and then to something else.
Well, that's a problem. Now, a lot of people don't, you know.
You know what that indicates? We don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah, but if anybody's listening to the show, they know that. This is known as top of the mind show. It keeps on changing depending on what the last
top of the mind.
Was.
Maybe it's the bottom of the mind.
No, 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 no. It's like have you listened to the Jerry Seinfeld show?
I've never seen
Seinfeld. He'll be talking, and then Kramer will come in with a totally different topic. And all of a sudden, the different topic becomes the main discussion. But he always picks on something very, picky, something in detail that nobody else would talk about. And all of a sudden it becomes a topic.
Malcolm, I couldn't tell you. I've never seen that program.
And that's our show because people love it. Right, Aaron? You love our show even though you're playing?
Well, yeah. That's what he says.
Well, what are you doing on your phone?
Just responding to a couple emails.
Oh, okay. He's supposed to be listening to the show.
I am.
Yeah, because we expect detailed information about what we do right or wrong or what holds your interest.
We're going to give you an oral test when we're done.
Because remember, you're the new generation. You're the people we're trying to reach.
I promise I am listening.
Okay. Don't want to put you on the spot. No, I know you are.
You just did. Just did, Malcolm.
Anyway.
All right. Now, do you know what we're supposed to talk about next?
The Olympics.
Well, we were, but go ahead. You want to add anything?
Yeah, everybody's talking about too many commercials, and it's too...
They had too many commercials. Anyway, I know what we wanted to talk about.
Sex.
No, not sex, but close to it. When the Olympics were first introduced in ancient Greece, not modern Greece, modern Olympics, I think started like 1928.
Or 1902, I think. Somehow 1902 is a...
Well, all right, that's not important. Right? It was in the 1900s, okay? But back when, like 2,000, 2,500 years ago, you know how they did the Olympics, right?
Yeah, they didn't do it on TV.
No, but how?
Au naturel.
Yeah, they were all bare-ass naked.
But I don't know if there's any women. It was all men, I believe.
But the spectators could have been women, I think.
Yeah, but the spectators were women, but they were naked.
Oh, no, not
the
spectators.
The men were naked, the athletes.
The participants.
And I don't think there were women. But I don't know if I would want to see a group of naked men. Now, if it were, in today's day and age, I wouldn't mind seeing naked women, but then again, I'm a pervert. Or some people say.
You're a pervert anyway.
Or prevert.
A prevert. You're a perverted prevert.
But what I do think is that there should be one uniform for Olympic athletes. It shouldn't be country.
Instead of by country?
Right. It shouldn't be. Each country should send the best athletes. But I think that the athletes themselves compete against each other, not as a country.
So you don't believe in that, let's say, the U.S. has more medals than China. It shouldn't be by country.
No, it should be by...
Like we have umpteen medals and they only have three or whatever.
Right, it should be, the athlete against the athlete. Because that was the original concept of the Olympics.
Maybe it was, but things get perverted over the years.
But again, I think it should be, it should be one uniform. And it should be basically an athlete competing against an athlete or a team competing against a team and not necessarily, oh, yeah, this is America, Russia, this is China.
You could write into the Olympic Committee and let them know what you think.
I know I could have and possibly have done it.
But you already wrote it in?
Yeah, something they couldn't they couldn't give a flying blank. I'm not going to say the word. I'll give it up to you. Do you know that expression?
Yeah, I've heard it. Somewhere in my
in your ute,
my ute
from Brooklyn. But anyway, yeah. So the Olympics are on now. Should be on for another 2 weeks, I believe so. And then we're getting pro football
now,
which interferes with the. Now I don't see interfering with the.
It won't interfere. It'll come pretty soon after. Track and field. How does this country shape up with its track and field?
We're always good. We're always good in track and field. And aside from the fact that I think this year Russia is banned in track and field.
They are.
Yeah, because of.
But what about the long distance runners? The U.S. has never really had. Long distance runners. They come from.
Now they're all African countries.
Yeah, Kenya and places like that, and
Ethiopia.
Ethiopia. Some of the Scandinavian.
Yeah, you're talking about the marathons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More than.
Well, I remember
yards.
The first big marathon runner in this country who was, I think this was back in someplace in the '60s, was a guy named Frank Shorter.
I remember the name,
And he's the one that started, this is when jogging became very popular. And running became popular. Frank Shorter was like the first, and he won the Olympics. And I remember watching the marathon on TV, and I forget, it might have been in the U.S. I don't know if it was the U.S., but I know that he, at the finals, he had to come into a stadium, and it was like through a tunnel, like I'm thinking of the Coliseum.
Okay.
And he goes into the tunnel, and another runner comes out. Someone was hiding in the tunnel.
Really?
And came out running, and I remember and Frank Shorter was looking at him because he didn't know who the hell it was, but he realized that it wasn't, there was no one ahead of him. And I think the reporter might have been Howard Cosell or someone. He was saying, "Frank, that's not the runner. You're leading. He was yelling into the microphone.
That actually happened?
That happened.
So who was the guy, and what did they do with him?
I don't know what they did with him. I think they shot him.
Well, speaking of people who do that and interfere, at a baseball game, and I've seen this, was some idiot, and the ball is coming close to the, where they're sitting.
It's almost a natural reaction.
And the guy, usually it's a guy, he'll go for the ball, either he'll knock it down or catch it. When the player was able to reach it and catch it.
Yeah.
What happens then?
It depends. If it's definitely if it's a foul ball, it's tough luck.
Well, it would have to be a foul ball. It wouldn't be in the border.
Well, there could have been in the border where they reach over the fences for the home runs. If people are sitting in the first row, there was a famous one. I forget which year it was in the World Series, or a playoff game, where one of the kids reached over.
A kid.
And it was definitely the outfielder could have gotten the ball, but they signaled for the home run. I think this was the days before they did the video replay.
So they didn't execute the kid.
No, but what they did in Chicago when the guy in Chicago reached over for the foul ball, and it was in play, and the outfielder couldn't get it, he was ridden out of town because they said the guy's name. Do you remember that, Aaron? Remember seeing it?
I do not remember seeing that.
It was a playoff game, and the Chicago Cubs have not been in the World Series for like 400 years. And it was a crucial play where it was like a foul ball up the third base line. And the outfielder was coming to it, and he was bringing up his glove. And then one of the fans reached over and knocked the ball away. And the guy was safe. He wasn't out. And the Cubs wind up losing that game and losing the series. And the guy who did
because of that.
Well, one of the things, but the guy who knocked the ball away, he was getting death threats. And he had, I think, eventually move out of Chicago or move out of his house and change his name.
Good. Serves him right.
Anyway, do you realize that we've been speaking for 52 minutes and 31 seconds?
I don't know.
Seconds.
You made me take my watch off, so I don't know what time it is.
Hey, I'm pointing to there's a clock up
there. Oh, that clock. Okay.
Does that clock go on the air also, Aaron?
No, sir.
No, okay. That's only for us. Okay,
okay, so that's it. It's a wrap.
Not a wrap yet. Do you have anything to say? We still have
well,
a minute
the only
and
thing
half.
I have to say is this is going to be in a very interesting year political-wise, and I have to tell you one thing else. This year, for whatever reason, I have been more interested in politics than all of the prior years. Why I have I don't know. I think there's just more at stake this time.
Well, there's more at stake.
I know we don't agree because
there's more animosity. There's a lot of hate.
Always animosity.
No. Not so much hate. Not so much name calling. Not so many facts that are unsubstantiated. Like the big thing now with Trump. I hear, or many people have said. That's his thing. And all of a sudden but not me. I mean, I wouldn't say. Many people told me that Obama's not a citizen. Many people have told me that he's really, Muslim. Many people have said that Hillary is,
it's a good way to put it out there. And if it's wrong, no one's going to blame you.
Well, that's it. I didn't say it. It's not what I believe. But anyway.
Okay, so that, I guess it is a wrap. It's a wrap. What else? That's it. Okay.
Do you want to signal Aaron to wrap
I don't know. Well, he looks like he's sleeping. Let's wake him up.
No, he's up. He's laughing. Okay. Aaron, it's a wrap.
Okay, you people out there, we'll see you again.
When I say it's a wrap, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Okay, no more. Quit.
Bye.
Gone.